Our reading is from Mark 12, verses 38 to 44, and it's on page 717. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she has given out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she has to live on."
Father, as we spend time now thinking together about the words of Jesus, we are desperate for you to work in our hearts to change us by your Spirit. Father, we repent of our materialism this evening, of the way that we so often make money our God. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Break our cold hearts, convict and change us by your word through your Spirit, so that we might leave this place not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word, doers of this word, we pray, for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. Well, as has been mentioned already this evening, today at Highfields is Giving Sunday, a day which we take just once a year to think about how under God we can resource and give to the work of the gospel at home and abroad, not necessarily just through our church family here at Highfields, but through other means and avenues, of course. And of course, as we think about that, as we think about giving, it means that we must speak about money. You know, it's astonishing how much Jesus talks about this issue of money. It's been calculated that as much as 15% of everything that Jesus said related to the topic of money, more than his teaching on heaven and hell combined. Listen to these three examples from Luke's gospel. Over the course of the last few hours, I've just pared these examples down. At one point, I decided for about 9, 10, 11 of them. I'm just going to give you three. They all come from Luke's gospel. And these are the kinds of things Jesus said about money and lifestyle issues related to it. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" Luke 12, verses 33 to 34. "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief or moth can destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Luke 14, verse 33. "In the same way," Jesus says, "any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." And those were just a few choice pickings. So I pray this evening now, this Giving Sunday evening, that our desire will be to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in how we use our money. And in this area that we will teach and rebuke and correct and train one another in righteousness to the glory of God. And we're going to do that this evening by listening to Jesus speak in a passage that's just 95 words long, four verses, but that are very powerful and profoundly challenging words from Mark's gospel. So if you've got a Bible, please do turn back to that reading, Mark chapter 12. We're going to look just at those few verses, verses 41 to 44. It's on page 717 of the Black Church Bibles, Mark chapter 12. And I want us just to see briefly two things. Firstly, Jesus sees how we use our money. And secondly, Jesus speaks about how we use our money. So let's just have a look at those now as we listen to Jesus. Firstly, Jesus sees how we use our money. Look at how Mark describes this scene before us in verse 41 of chapter 12. Mark writes, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Remember, Jesus is in the city of Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jewish nation, a people who have been called by the one true living God to love and serve and know him. They've been given God's word to obey, and the temple stands as the symbol of God's presence. The sacrifice for sin, for the ways that we wrong God, took place in that temple. And it was also the place where people, the Jews, gave to God's work. So here come all of those people, God's people, into God's house, God's temple, and Jesus sees what they do with their money. And the first thing that he sees is many rich people throwing in large amounts. We read it there. Undoubtedly, many of them would have thrown in at least a denarius. A denarius was, back then, the standard pay for a day's labor. So to see that in kind of today's value, I guess we take the minimum wage for anyone over 21, it's £5.80. Think about 8 hours work, and it comes to just under £50. So there it goes, £50 into the bag that's gone around. Maybe some threw in a stater. That was a coin that was worth four denarii, about £200. I don't know. Maybe there were a few rich people there who delved into their money bags as they carried them into the temple. Maybe some of the religious leaders of the day, those who were people knew to be especially spiritual and religious, and out of their money bag, what might they have done? Grabbed a handful of staters, 12 or so, and thrown them into the treasury. Today's equivalent of £2,400. And I don't know about you, but as we watch with Jesus, we're impressed. I mean, the finance committee are rubbing their hands with glee. In fact, they'd actually anticipated this because they saw the cars and they saw the homes and the clothes. There are rich people here. We'd like to get to know them. What they're giving plus gift aid, everyone's a winner. And look how many of them there are. These are the people that we'd like to get to know, that we'd like to notice. We want to get alongside them. And then Jesus sees again. Look at verse 42. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. The Greek there actually tells us the monetary value. You can't see it there. It's two lepta. The singular is a lepton. A lepton was worth 1/128th of a denarii. In today's value, 36 pence. 36 pence. And this poor widow puts into the treasury two of them. 72 pence. 72 pence. Now, before we listen to Jesus' response to that, let's just say this in passing. Jesus sees everything about our lives. He knows everything about us, everything that we think, all that we do, including everything we do with our money. Just think about that for a moment. Every part of your financial dealings, every bank account, everything that you spend your money on, Jesus knows all about it. How comfortable do you feel about that? I mean, we all like the fact, don't we, that the Highfields accounts, Chris just said it for us there, are strictly audited and made plain, and we like to know the figures and give the kind of a careful going over. But we like to think that our personal finances are just that, personal. Now, of course, we're all intrigued and titillated by trying to work out each other's incomes and how they can afford that and how they can manage that and that car. But we ourselves like to have a tight privacy about all that we have and own and earn. Except that doesn't exist. Because Jesus, the Lord of the universe, sees exactly how we use our money. And the motivations for how we use our money like we do. Because Jesus sees our hearts. He sees what we treasure. He sees what we hold most dear. He sees where our dependency and trust in life are. And he sees the proof of that in part by how we use our money. For those of us who follow Jesus, let's acknowledge that this evening. Let's acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, even over our finances. Let's prayerfully look to him, to his word, by his spirit, and be shaped and taught about every 36 pence, 200 pounds, 2,400 pounds, 24,000 pounds. Jesus is Lord of our money. And the path to discipleship and the path to maturity in discipleship is found in acknowledging that and in living that out, which is exactly what Jesus goes on to teach about next. And it is profoundly challenging stuff. So firstly, Jesus sees how we use our money. And secondly, Jesus speaks about how we use our money. Let's, to grab the impact, let's read from verse 41 together again. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." What is Jesus saying here? Has he forgotten basic maths? 72 pence versus hundreds, thousands of pounds. Some of these rich people would have put massive amounts of money in. And yet Jesus says, this poor widow has put in more. On what basis has she done that? Well, Jesus explains. Did you see it there in verse 44? He describes how the rich have given out of their wealth. Yes, it looks so generous, such large amounts of money. But the thing is this. There is still much money left in their bank accounts to be spent on themselves. Proportionately, and that's the key aspect that Jesus is driving at here, proportionately, what the rich have put in is actually a small amount. When what it's been put in is compared to what remains in their bank account, then it's seen in a different light. These rich individuals are making sure that their perceived needs are paid for. The homes, the wants, every piece of clothing, the new gadget, every part of the house, the pension plan top-up, every son or daughter's needs, that the car isn't getting too old, that the holidays are paid for. And then, only then, is the Lord considered. That's not sacrifice, it's skimming off the top. And Jesus compares that attitude to the poor widow. Of course, being a widow in the time of Jesus was a desperate situation to find yourself in. No income, no state benefits, no family to look after you. And if you were a poor widow, then your situation was just desperate. And here comes this poor widow, and into the treasury puts everything. All that she had to live on. There's no need to talk of proportion here, because there isn't any. She had hardly anything and she gives it all away. She empties her bank account. And look at verse 43. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." Now, sorry, there's no PowerPoint tonight. If you want one strap line to take away that I think unpacks these few verses, it's this. God values the gift not by its size, but by its sacrifice. God values the gift not by its size, but by its sacrifice. Brothers and sisters of Highfields, have soft hearts in receiving God's words now. J.C. Ryle, the famous Church of England vicar, commented about these words. He said this, "There are few of our Lord's sayings so much overlooked as this. There are thousands who remember all his doctrinal discourses and yet contrive to forget this incident in his earthly ministry." Jesus is talking about sacrificial giving. Frankly, He is commending the type of sacrificial giving that we in the 21st century, we'd like to explain this away, to qualify away. Just gently walk Jesus down Montsomer Road at the end of the service and say, listen, I think you overstated things a little bit there. I think there was quite a degree of irresponsibility, unrealism. No, Jesus commends this woman, draws attention to the 72 pence this poor widow has put in, which in God's sight is more than the thousands that others have. And that's because, as we have said, God values the gift not by its size, but by its sacrifice. You see, when it comes to money, Jesus teaches over and over again that it's an enormous indicator about the state of our hearts. It's a massive indicator of our devotion, our willingness to give our all and follow Jesus. You see, though the rich gave much, their heart was resting content in what they had left over. They had lots that they could still use to get themselves by. They were independent. They were able to make it their own way. But if the sacrifice for Jesus means that you have little left, that you've given everything, where is your heart going to rest and depend but on Jesus? Everything is leaning on him, just like that poor widow would have trusted in God as everything she had was dropped into that treasury basket. Everything is trusting in him, on the hope of heaven, on the glory of his name. No, the poor widow gives more. Her love, devotion, faith shows itself in 72 pence. So, let's get practical. Let me ask you this. How regularly do you sit down and with a prayerful, Christ-exalting spirit, just carefully assess and budget your finances with the express aim of maximizing what you can give away sacrificially to God? How often do we do that? Looking down the expenditures that you incur, the mortgage, the rent, council tax, heating bills, for some of us, student loans, the discretionary expenses, the gym, the gadgets, the accessories, stuff for the house, hobbies, holiday choices, eating out, eating nice, drinking nice, all the choices we make week by week. How regularly do you sit down and assess all that and pray and examine and pray to God, how much here can I give away to gospel work and to those who are in need? How much you can give to the family of God's people here that make up Highfields. After all, that's the biblical thing to do, to think like that, to give to our family work together here. We saw that last week from Acts 2. There's so many ministries that take place in this massive building which requires looking after. There are the plans about Dalton Street and church planting, and that's just here. There's our enormous commitment to missions work, which supports a large and growing group of individuals who serve elsewhere in the UK and overseas. The folks who run finance are downstairs after this service, and they'd love to be of help and service to you. And then there are the other individuals and agencies and compassion ministries and gospel works that you'll want to support for a variety of reasons. People you know, groups that you've worked with. So how often do you prayerfully weigh all that up in the light of this scripture? And say, Lord, make me a sacrificial giver. How often, if you're married, do you go through that process as a couple? I would recommend at least yearly you do that together. And if you're single, then think about the wisdom of talking with a trusted friend. You might not go through every budget line and look in detail about what you give to gospel work, but you'll share with a friend who can ask you hard questions, straight questions, that can keep you accountable on this very issue. And then as we've taken ourselves through that process, how often do we reassess over and over, giving, and giving till it hurts, to the glory of God's name and to the work of his gospel in this land and beyond? Is this not exactly what Jesus commends this poor widow for doing? And guys, let me say a quick word to you, our students. Students, it's great to have you with us. And I appreciate that as students listening to this, you don't have much. You receive loans, yeah, maybe help from parents. But the point of the passage is this. It's not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice of the gift that Jesus weighs. A good whack of your money is still discernible income. So you decide how many iTunes songs to download, how many pairs of jeans to buy, how much to spend when you go out this weekend, what tariff to set up on your mobile. Maybe one less drink, one less song, one less pair of jeans, and that £10 becomes your regular gift to the work of the gospel. Say to your CU, who lives on campus to make Jesus known. Well, folks, I don't know what you're thinking right now. As the saying goes, a penny for your thoughts. How are we going to respond to this question of sacrificial giving? It was hard to get up this evening because you think, I'm nothing close to this. What will motivate us to live increasingly like this? Let me tell you what won't motivate you. Firstly, I won't. Don't look at me. I'm an utter failure in this. To have any integrity at all in preaching this sermon, the one thing I did have to do this week was look over my finances, change some things, which amongst them other things meant changing my standing order to Highfields. But don't look at me. I'm an utter sinner trying to put God's word into practice. Don't look at me. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. And you also won't start sacrificially giving by trying harder either. By making a few firm resolutions. I'll try harder to do this. No, money greed can have such a tight grasp around our hearts that from thinking that right now to the service ending and you working your way down to the foyer with that intention, no, the deceitfulness of wealth chokes in and just trying harder, well, we could chat about it this time next year. And deciding that this is something that you'll address later, when you're more able, when you have more cash, that is also a deadly response. Because firstly, you won't. As now, so then. And remember, the point is not waiting to give until you feel you have something worthwhile to give. It's not the size, it's the sacrifice. For you right now, £2 a week might be a massive sacrifice. £100 a week might be a drop in the ocean that is your bank account. No, putting it off means we'll never address it. No, the only motivation, the only way that we will start living like this is by looking to the one who is speaking to us about it in Mark's gospel. It's only by looking to Jesus that we will ever give sacrificially. Why is that the case? Well, I thought of at least three reasons. Firstly, because Jesus is Lord. It's his money anyway. He reigns over the whole world. Everything belongs to him. Giving is essentially recognition of that. And recognizing that he is Lord, that all that we own, all our money is his, well, that observation will make us careful. Very careful about how we spend his money. Thoughtful about how we can give sacrificially. Secondly, it's only Jesus who can change our self-centered, me first, my wants, Simon Price needs heart. It's only through trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross, where he paid for all that rottenness, that we can find forgiveness and be given a new heart and a new mind to love and serve him and to put him first and to see him first in everything and through everything, supreme in our lives. And thirdly, we are motivated because that sacrificial death of Jesus serves as the supreme example of giving. Christ gave literally his all for us. This is exactly how the Apostle Paul motivates a church to give in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says this. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, who existed in the glorious splendor and might and majesty of heaven, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but left the throne room of heaven and made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Yes, it is the cross of Christ that changes our hearts and motivates our hearts to lay all that we are before him. And as we think about money and process it and work out what to do and work out how to give, it is that Jesus Christ, who he is, Faith in him that shapes and serves as the foundation and orientates us to give and give and give again. After all, is this not, by the way, how we sing anyway? Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I wonder at this gift of life. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy. I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. May this Giving Sunday, the glory of Christ, shape and motivate all that we do, not least with our money. A touchy, touchy subject. Lord, help us in this, we pray. Change us for Christ's sake, because of the power of the cross. Because God in Christ has rescued and changed us. Which means we can sing together as we come to this time of communion. Lord, you were rich beyond all splendor, yet for love's sake became so poor. Savior and King, we worship you.
So let's do that together as family. Let's gladly live our lives beneath the cross of Jesus. Let's encourage each other as we conclude with the words of the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.